Book of the Revelation, chapter 17. I'll say once again, the scene, best place I know to be, other than heaven. I was thinking the other day, the Lord's give us heaven to go to heaven in.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. Revelation chapter 17, I'm going to read tonight verses 1 through 7 of this particular chapter. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." I'd like to have every head bowed once again, every eye closed. Let's once again go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege once again this Lord's Day of being able to assemble ourselves together with thy people in thy house. I thank you for thy precious word that you've given us. I pray that you'll help me to teach thy word tonight. Help me to rightly divide thy word. I pray that you'll help me so that help me to help these that's come. Help us, Father, as we study this passage of Scripture, that we might understand better what is spoken of here, and in turn understand what is going on around us as we live in these last days of this dispensation. We ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to bring the next part of the message entitled, The False World Church. At this time, I'm going to say a few things by way of review, and then I'm going to pick up where I left off last week and continue. Last week, I gave to our listeners an introduction to the book of the Revelation. Every book in the Bible has a key verse. Sometimes that key is hanging by the front door of that book. Sometimes the key is hanging by the back door. When we come to the book of the Revelation, we find that the key is hanging by the front door in chapter number 1. The key verse to this book is in chapter 1 in verse number 19. Here in this verse of Scripture, the Word of God says, "Write the things which thou hast seen." This has reference to the past. "And the things which are." This has to do with the present. "And the things which shall be hereafter." This has to do with the future. Here we find that this verse tells us that this book deals with things past, things present, and things future. Here in verse number 19, the Word of God says, "Write the things which thou hast seen." This has to do with the first division of the book and corresponds to chapter number 1. John had just seen a vision of the risen, glorified Lord. Here further in verse 19, the Word of God says, "And the things which are." This has to do with the second division of the book and corresponds to Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Here in these chapters, we find seven letters addressed to seven churches. These seven churches give to us the seven stages of the life of the church here upon this earth.
Then further here in verse 19, the Word of God says, and the things which shall be hereafter. This has to do with the third division of the book. And this corresponds to Revelation chapters 4 through 22. Chapters 4 through 22. So we find that this book deals with things in the past, things in the present, and things in the future. Now I didn't say this last week, but I'm going to say it right here because I think it's very fitting. If you look at your Bible in verse number 4 of chapter 1, the Word of God says this, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. I want you to notice that in verse number 19, that I read this a few moments ago, this book deals with things past, present, and future. Now here in verse number 4, John speaks about Jehovah God. Jehovah God, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Right here I want to say this. Jehovah is the combination of three Hebrew words. You break that name Jehovah down in three sections. J-E means he will be. H-O-V means he that is. And A-H means he was. Here we find that John is talking about Jehovah God, which is, which was, and which is to come. And this corresponds with the threefold division of the book here in verse number 19. Only Jehovah can tell us about the past, the present, and the future.
Amen.
That's true. We find that the rapture of the saints of God takes place in the opening verses of Revelation chapter number 4. The tribulation period begins, or technically speaking, Daniel's 70th week. Begins in Revelation chapter 6 and ends in Revelation chapter 19.
Right.
Now I read this evening from Revelation chapter 17. Since this falls between chapters 6 and 19, this tells us that this is something that's going to take place during the tribulation period.
Right.
Most certainly this is so. I believe that what we read about here in this chapter, in Revelation chapter 17, we are seeing in the very making today. We are seeing this church formed and shaped today. But this church will not come to full power until the Lord God takes the true church out of this world.
Amen.
In what is known as the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is the rapture. Now, last week I directed your attention to three symbols used in the Word of God to represent the true church. Number one, the symbol of a woman. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. Second, the symbol of a city. Revelation 21 verses 9 and 10. These two symbols are used to represent the true church. Now these two symbols are used right here in Revelation 17. The symbol of a woman is found in verse number 3. The symbol of a city is found in verse number 18. My friend, the woman being presented in this way here tells us that she is one pretending to be the true church. The true church. But in reality, she is the false world church. This is the devil counterfeit. And because she is a counterfeit, there are some similarities between this false church and the true church. Now I gave to you last week four of those similarities. I'm going to state them very briefly and say nothing about them, and then I'm going to move on. Number one, the true church is presented as a woman. The false church is presented as a woman. Number two, the true church is presented as a city. The false church is presented as a city. Number three, the word mystery is used in Ephesians chapter 3 in connection with the true church. The word mystery is used in Revelation 17:5 in connection with the false church. Number four, the word grace is used in Ephesians chapter 5 in connection with the true church. The word grace is used in Revelation 17:5 in connection with the false church. Now listen, although this is a counterfeit, and there are some similarities between this counterfeit and the true church, there are also some contrasts. There are some contrasts between the true church and the false church. And I want to give you some of these this evening. Number one, the true church is a chaste virgin. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. That passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Right. The false church is presented as a filthy harlot. Right. What a contrast. What a contrast between a chaste virgin and a filthy harlot.
Right.
And I might say right here, that here in this passage of Scripture, Revelation 17, God uses plain language and plain speech. He does not refer to this woman as a sanctified prostitute.
Right.
But he flat out calls her a whore or a harlot. Now let me say this. There is a vast difference between how God describes sin and how man describes sin.
Right. Amen.
Man calls it an accident. God calls it an abomination. Man calls it a blunder. God calls it blindness. Man calls it a chance. God calls it a choice. Man calls it a defect. God calls it a disease. Man calls it error. God calls it enmity. Man calls it fascination. God calls it a fatality. Man calls it an infirmity. God calls it iniquity. Man calls it luxury. God calls it lawlessness.
Right.
Man calls it a trifle. God calls it a tragedy. There's an difference. You know, we're living today in a day where sin is taken very lightly. Very lightly. It's spoken of very lightly. It's spoken of in joking terms in this day you and I are living. Sin is looked upon as something to be played with, to be toyed with, as a sweet morsel to roll into the tongue. But that's a mistake. That's a mistake. I was thinking the other day, in connection with this, where God uses plain speech here, I was thinking the other day that those that are exposed today, those that are exposed and found to be guilty of the vilest sins, they aren't even ashamed.
Right.
They don't even blush. They don't even blush. Has it ever occurred to you that the word blush is only found three times in the Bible? Only three times. I want to read those passages this evening. I believe this will be a help to you. In Jeremiah chapter number 6, in verse number 15, the Lord God is speaking and he says this. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and in verse number 12, the Word of God says this. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. There's twice the word blush is found in the Bible. Now it's found in the Bible a third time. This being the book of Ezra, chapter number 9. Ezra chapter 9 and in verse number 5. The Word of God says this. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Verse 6 says, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush. to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. My friend, this is the way we ought to be today when it comes to the matter of sin. So we find that God here uses plain language when he speaks about this false world church. Billy Sunday used to say years ago, if you call when you call the devil by his right name, you will make many of a religious man very mad. And I believe that's true. I believe that's true. So we find here that the true church is a chaste virgin. The false church is a filthy harlot. Number two, the true church is a spouse to one. That being the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2, I just read it just a few moments ago. The false church has affairs and is associated with many. Notice your Bible in Revelation 17, in verse number 2, the Bible says, with whom the kings, plural, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Yes. She has affairs and is associated with many. Number three, the true church offers the cup of salvation and stands for holiness. The false church offers the golden cup full of abominations and filthiness. Notice verse number 4. The Bible says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The true church offers the cup of salvation and stands for holiness. The false church offers the golden cup full of abominations and filthiness. Number four, the true church is referred to as the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:15. The false church is called Babylon. Babylon meaning confusion and recalling an unfinished tower. Now right here is a contrast. I'm going to say that again. The true church is referred to as the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:15. The false church is called Babylon. And Babylon is a word which means confusion. And it reminds us of an unfinished tower. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. The truth will open your eyes. The truth will clear away all confusion.
Amen.
The truth will always get the job done and won't leave you hanging. That's the truth. Number five, the true church is referred to as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2. Now I want you to turn your Bible there for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. The true church is referred to as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 19. I want to show you something here. Ephesians 2:19. Word of God says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of God and of the household of God. Here the church is referred to as the household of God. The household of God. We that have been saved by the grace of God, we're not living merely as neighbors, but as sons in the same house with God. Verse number 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together groweth unto in hell and holy temple in the Lord. Number two, the church here is referred to as a holy temple in the Lord. Now notice number three that is found in verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. My friend, the true church is a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now I want you to notice the false church here. Turn your Bible to Revelation 18. Revelation chapter 18, notice this. Notice what a contrast. Revelation 18 verse 2 says, he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils. And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Here we find that the world church is a Satan-inspired, demon-directed system. This is what the Word of God tells us here. This false church is here seen to house Satan's agents. Vast contrast between the true church. Number six, the true church is viewed by John the Beloved from a great and high mountain. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 10. The false church is viewed by John the Beloved in the wilderness. Now, I'm not going to take time to deal with this right here because I'm going to deal with it later. And I'll show you the vast difference between this. Number seven, the Lord adorns the true church in fine linen, clean and white. Revelation 19:8. Satan decks the false church in the attire of this world. Revelation 17:5. You can read it. In the attire of this world. Number eight, the true church retards corruption in the earth. You remember when the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13 said, ye, referring to those that had been saved by the grace of God, he said, ye are the salt of the earth.
Right.
You know, salt is a preservative. Salt retards corruption. The true church retards corruption in the earth. But we find that the false church is a corrupting agent.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 5. It says, and upon their forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. She's a corrupting agent. That's what the Word of God declares. Number 9, the true church was purchased by the blood of Christ. Acts 20:28. The false church is drunk with the blood of the saints and martyrs. Here we find this in Revelation chapter 17 and in verse number 6. It says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The true church is preserved by Christ. Matthew 16:18. The false church will be destroyed by the beast. Revelation chapter 17. Verses 16 and 17. So we find that there is some contrast between the true church and the false world church as is set before us here in Revelation chapter number 17. Now, here in this chapter, and I want you to listen at this very closely, here in this chapter is the apostate world church that will be a reality and come to full power and be in full bloom during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Right here in Revelation chapter 17, we have the false world church. And I'm going to say something right here that I've not said before during this series, and it's very important. Here in chapter 17, we have the false world church headed up under Rome.
Right.
R-O-M-E.
Yeah.
I've not mentioned that before during this series. And I want you to remember that, and I want you to get a hold of that. Here we have the false world church headed up under Rome. Romanism will gather into itself the whole of apostate Christendom. Now, don't let that word Christendom bother you. I'll tell you what it means. It means professing Christianity.
Right.
Christendom means the sphere or circle of professing Christianity.
That's what it means. That's what it means. You see, my friend, today there are many that profess Christianity. But they don't possess Christ.
Amen.
Just saying that you are a Christian does not make you a Christian.
Right.
It seems to be the popular thing today to say that I've been born again. Many people use the language of Christ, but they know nothing about life in Christ.
Amen.
They claim to be Christians, but they don't possess Christ. You see, there's thousands, yea, thousands like that in the world today. And when the rapture takes place, the Lord is going to take out of this world those that's truly been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And the rest are going to be left behind. And these that's left behind are going to get together. They're going to get together. And we're hearing a whole lot today about getting together, get together, get together.
Amen.
Have you ever realized that God says separate, separate, separate? We're hearing a lot about that today. Get together. Get together. They're going to get together. And there's going to be one big world church heading up under Rome. Or in other words, Rome is going to be in the driver's seat. Romanism is going to be at the helm. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Now, I want to point out something here from this particular chapter. And it comes in three steps. Number one, this one referred to here as a woman in verse 3, this tells us that she is a church. We dealt with that last week, so I'm not going over tonight. Number one, we have a church. A church. One presenting herself as a church. Okay. Number two, we are to understand that not only is she a church, but she is a universal church. Notice your Bible in Revelation chapter 17. She is a universal church. Revelation 17 verse 1, the Bible says, there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, what does the many waters refer to? What does the many waters refer to? The Bible says here that this woman, this great whore, sitteth upon many waters. What's the many waters? The answer is found down in verse number 15. Look at your Bible in verse number 15. Here in this particular verse, the Word of God says, and he saith unto me, here we find the angel talking to John, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Now I want you to notice right here that the human race is divided into four divisions. Number one, peoples. Number two, multitudes. Number three, nations. Number four, tongues. Now let me say this. Every number in the Bible means something. It has a spiritual significance. Four in the Bible is the numerical number for the world. It's the world number. It has to do with the world. A universality, that which is worldwide. Four is the signature of this world. Has it ever occurred to you that this earth has four regions? North, south, east, and west. Four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. Four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Four winds, four divisions of our day. Morning, noon, evening, and night. Now, thinking about the other day, you know the Bible speaks about four earths.
4 hours. Remember, 4 is the world number. The Bible speaks about the Adamic earth, or the pre-Adamic earth. Number 2, the planting earth. Number 3, the millennial earth. And then number 4, the new earth. There's 4 earths spoken of in that Bible. 4 is the world number. 4 is the world number. And we find the number 4 is used many times in the book of the Revelation. Why is that? It's because this book deals with global affairs or worldwide affairs. And we find this expression here in verse number 15. This expression in its various phases is used 6 times in the book of the Revelation. 6 times. And here we find that the human race has a fourfold division. This right here speaks of universality. It speaks of that which is worldwide. Now remember, in verse 1 the Bible says, this whore setteth upon many waters. And according to verse number 15, this tells us that it is a universal system.
Right.
Universal. Worldwide. Worldwide. So number 1, we have a church. Number 2, according to verses 1 and 15 of this chapter, it is a universal church. Now right here I want to say this. What does the word universal mean? If you go home tonight and look in the Webster's Dictionary, you'll find that one of the meanings of the word universal is Catholic. Here we have a church that is universal. We have a universal church, or in other words, a Catholic church.
Right.
That's very simple. Now I want to go one more step. Here is a universal church, or a Catholic church, that is connected with a city. Turn your Bible to Revelation 17 and look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. And the woman which thou thought is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Here we find that this universal church or Catholic church is connected with a city. Now the location referred to here, the city referred to here in verse 18, there's no doubt in my mind, is Rome. The Word of God tells me this in verse number 9. Now, I haven't got time to stop and deal with that tonight. I'm going to, if the Lord allows, during this series, I'm going to deal with that. And I'll show you what I mean. But there's no doubt in my mind that Rome is being referred to here. In verse number 9. We will say more concerning verse number 9 in Rome later on. So here, in 3 steps, is what we have. We have a Catholic church, or a universal church, located in Rome. In Rome. You say, preacher, what do you have? You have 3 steps. A Roman Catholic Church. There's no doubt in my mind that a Roman Catholic Church is dealt with here in Revelation chapter 17. There's no doubt in my mind. Now there's more than the Roman Catholic Church as we know it today being dealt with here in this chapter. There's more, and I'll deal with that later, but there's no doubt in my mind that a Roman Catholic Church is being dealt with right here in this passage of Scripture. Now I know someone here tonight may say, preacher, if this is referring to the Roman Catholic Church, why is she called Babylon? In verse number 5. In verse number 5 of this chapter, the Word of God says, and upon her forehead with the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great. He says, preacher, why is she referred to or called Babylon in verse number 5. She is called this because the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. The Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism.
Right.
Babylon was beginning in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. The Word of God tells us about that. And I'm going to deal with that later if the Lord allows. It was beginning as recorded in those particular chapters. There was a city and a tower built. There was a religious system set up and organized. And that religious system that was set up and organized way back then is the same system found in the Roman Catholic Church today.
Right.
The same system. Same system. The Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now I'm going to deal during this series in detail with these verses found here in Revelation chapter number 17. But at this time, I'm going to go back to the first time that Babylon is referred to in the Bible. That being found in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. And I'm going to deal with this system that was set up and organized. That's where it had its beginning. I'm going to deal with that. And then I want to trace Babylon through the Scriptures. I want to trace this religious system through the Scriptures till we come back here to Revelation 17. And then by the time we deal with these verses, I believe they'll mean much more to you. And I believe you can have a better understanding of what the Word of God is talking about right here in this particular passage of Scripture. The first time that Babylon is referred to in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 10. Genesis chapter number 10. In time we're going out tonight, I have a few moments. And in closing, I'll say this. I'll pick up there next week, if the Lord allows. But in closing tonight, I want to say this. The book of Revelation consists of 22 chapters, 404 verses, or excuse me, 22 chapters, 404 verses, 12,000 words. Now, if you go through this book, there's 278 verses that consist of references to the Old Testament Scriptures. The book of the Revelation over and over and over again, 278 times, refers to the Old Testament Scriptures. Therefore, I'm going to say that what you get out of the book of the Revelation when you study it will depend largely upon your acquaintance with the Old Testament Scriptures. With the Old Testament Scriptures. We need to study the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The inspired, infallible, incorruptible, indestructible, forever settled in heaven, Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us to teach thy precious word tonight. I pray the Spirit of God will take thy word, use it for thy glory and honor. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.